Well, hello, everybody. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am in recovery for codependency, and my name is David.
Hey, David.
I feel a little rocked and rolled after that last song. I mean, that was just great. I could feel the waves of your love, you know, coming from the back. It was pretty cool. So tonight we're talking about sanity, something that probably we know very little about. See if I know my audience, right? Do we know very little about sanity? Well, got to tell you a story, I guess. I don't know much about sanity, but I know a lot about insanity. And insanity is like chaos. And you guys all know the Einstein quote where he goes, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result is insanity. That actually comes from Einstein. So I want to tell you a little story about what I call dog number seven. This is dog number seven. This is Mandy, by the way. Mandy's a little Bichon. She greets me at the door, loves me to death, makes me feel appreciated. But Mandy has no business being in my house. Mandy is the result of insanity, okay? It's one of those where you see this puppy, and the kid looks at you and goes, "Daddy, Daddy, please, I'll take care of it. I'll feed it. I'll take it outside. I'll teach it not to do the things it does on the rug. I will be responsible." The insanity is to believe that lie. I've heard that lie so many times. Like I said, that's dog number seven. Okay? And in between dog number seven is horse number one, horse number two, goldfish number 39, frog number three, four, five, and six. And so, you know, I fell for that lie. And so, you know, eventually I own dog number seven, right? Of course, I get no credit for it. They all go, "We trained him, Dad. You didn't train him." Really? We did feed him once. Really? So anyway, I just want you to know that since I've been in recovery, I'm over this. Okay, I'm absolutely immune. That's dog number eight. Yeah, that's Mocha. And it wasn't my kids that told me the lie that time. It was my wife. "Honey, you know, I would really love to have a dog of my own." "Your own?" "Yes, it'll be my dog." "Really?" "It would make me happy." "That has never worked before, really?" So anyway, today I moved Mocha's paper out of the garage into the lawn to see if I could teach Mocha not to poop in the garage, but to poop on the lawn. And my wife has no idea that that's going on, but she claims she is training Mocha. I swear I've learned my lesson. There will be no dog number 10. Believe me? Really? Or nine. You're doing the math. Well, if you believe me, you are insane too, because you are believing the same lie over and over and over again. How many of you believe a lot of lies, or at least you discover them and you keep believing them and you keep acting on them and you keep doing the same thing and you keep getting the same result? And okay, yeah, the brave ones stuck their hands up. The rest of you, okay, all right. Okay, if you're suffering from insanity, please sit down. Okay, that's the first honest statement I've seen in here tonight. That's good. So, anyway, we're going to deal with the issue of sanity. And you know, sometimes it manifests itself like this. But where the sanity we're talking about, by the way, is not clinical sanity. My wife is a psychology nurse or a psych nurse. So, you know, she has a whole different definition. We talk about words and we have completely different meanings. She's talking about people that are locked up and they got them on serious drugs, and that's a serious issue that we don't really deal with here. But what we deal with when we talk about insanity, we're talking about chaos. Okay, does that sound a little closer to some of the things that you go through? And I was particularly interested in the Einstein quote because, you know, Einstein's was a brilliant guy. I got a big picture of him I used to keep in my office. And it was just inspiring, but I realized in order for him to actually say that he had to be surrounded by it. You know, he had to every day be dealing with the same crap over and over and over again and wondering why he doesn't get it or the people around him don't get it. And you probably wonder why the people around you don't get it, okay? If you're married, you probably wonder why your spouse doesn't get it. I guarantee your spouse wonders why you don't get it. You watch your kids and you wonder why they don't get it. You go to work and you work with people and you wonder why the same things happen over and over again and somebody doesn't figure it out. Well, the truth is, it is the way we process stuff. You know? Before I came to Celebrate Recovery, and some of you will probably debate this if you know me real well, but before I came to Celebrate Recovery, I was the center of my universe. And since I've come to recovery, I have been moving away from the center of my universe, and Jesus is becoming the center of my universe. You know, He's on the throne every once in a while. I try to climb back up there thinking that it belongs to me, and it fails miserably, and I get back down and I worship Him and things begin to work out. So let's just read principle number two. This is where we're at tonight. Let's do this together, okay? Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. And the verse that goes with that, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Matthew 5:4. I know we read this stuff every week, but I think, you know, we probably just want to focus on this for a minute. The fact is that the only way we get off the throne of our lives and we begin to get past the chaos of our lives is if we truly recognize that there is a power higher than we are. Okay? And in here, in Celebrate Recovery, that power is the living God, Jesus Christ. Okay? There is nobody else. I know if you go to other recoveries, secular recoveries, it could be anything, but there's no power in anything. There's only the power in a living creator God. And that is the only one I know that can actually change you. There was an interesting verse in Matthew chapter 4, and I read through it 1,000 times and never thought about it, and I heard it in Sunday service, and it really caught me. Jesus says that, He says, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. I always got caught on the fishers of men thing. I'm kind of a fishing guy, you know, and it just I don't know where I was with that verse for a long time. But I had never heard the follow and He will make, He will do the transforming, He will do the changing. But it hit me when I heard that. That's exactly what we talk about in here. That the transforming power that we are all looking for that changes us is Jesus. It is not us. I don't have the power to change me. Anybody in here have the power to change yourself? No. That's why you're here. You know that. Everybody out there doesn't know it, but they have the same problem, okay? All right. Step number two. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Okay, so the gifts that we receive by believing in the higher power are what change us. Okay? And so you got your little worksheet tonight. The acrostic is sanity, S-A-N-I-T-Y. The S stands for strength. Okay? God gives us the strength to face the truth. And by the way, the definition of sanity is wholeness of mind, making decisions based on truth. Okay, not just on facts. Okay, facts are one thing. The truth are the facts behind the facts. Okay. I say that, I mean, you know, I get up in the morning because the alarm clock tells me it's 5:00. Okay, it is a fact that it's it's 5 o'clock in the morning. But I get up in the morning because God gives me breath. He gives me drive and desire. He gives me meaning and He gives me purpose to get up. 5 o'clock is just an indicator. Okay? And He gives me work. He gives me meaningful work. One, because He expects me to pay my bills. Two, because He created me to do that. You know, man was not created for leisure. I know we'd like him to be. I mean, I'd like my biggest goal in life to work on my tan, except that I don't have the skin for it. But there's no value in it. And so when people do that for any period of time, they begin to feel like they're missing something in life. I'm going to visit my son next week, and he lives in Hawaii, which is really cool for me. I get to go to Hawaii, and I haven't been in many, many years. I haven't been on vacation in years. But he called me one day, and he said, Dad, he goes, you know, I feel like I'm living a worthless life. Now, he didn't mean that in real sad, real sorrow terms, but what he was saying is, you know, my job is sailing and diving. And that seemed really cool when I first got it. But I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything. I don't feel like I'm growing. And, you know, most young guys his age would think that's awesome. And he did when it was. But after a few years, he's beginning to feel like that there has to be a greater purpose in life than just working on your tan and ushering people out to the great diving areas and taking them down and showing them really colorful fish. And I thought, that is a real sign of maturity for him to say that. And I told him that. I said, Tom, that's such a great sign of maturity. It says that God is moving in you for something greater than what you're doing. Okay. Now that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with working on a nice boat and, you know, wearing a snorkel. But there is purpose that God builds into our lives. And if we get on purpose with Him, if He is our higher power, He will give us the strength to accomplish that. Some of you are there. You feel like you're not doing enough with your life. Your life isn't valuable enough. There's not enough purpose in your life. I'm saying that God has given that to you. And what you need to do is begin to ask Him the strength to face it and make the changes and to face the challenges that He puts in front of you. That's one of the things He does. And so let's read. Let's see, we did that. The verse that goes with this, I guess I forgot that one. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. By the way, when you have strength behind you, you do not fear. You know? We fear when strength is not on our side. We fear when the forces in front of us are greater than the forces on our side. And by the way, you have a very powerful enemy if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. I have one that wanted me to stay home today and feel sick and feel sorry for myself and not show up here today. Okay? And that is, do we know who he is? That is Satan. Satan is very real. If Jesus is real, Satan is real. Okay? There's not one without the other because they both come from the same Holy Scripture. And you need the strength to face him spiritually. You need the strength to face your challenges at home, your challenges at work, just the normal challenges of dealing with human beings in the world. Is that a challenge, by the way, for anybody just dealing with people? I work with people. I have a wonderful job. If it weren't for people. Okay, it's the truth. It's the truth. The mechanics of my job are a piece of cake. It is the people that require everything that God has ever given me to be able to do, to deal with. And I think that's true in your lives. If you're struggling with something, you might be struggling with relationships. And I'm sure you're absolutely certain it's the other person in your life that's the problem. And the other person in your life could be a problem. Okay? Very well could be. You could have a troubled marriage, a troubled friendship, a troubled neighbor, a troubled coworker, a troubled boss, a troubled whatever. Troubled dog. You could have all of those things. The issue is not them in your life. The issue is how you respond to them. I mean, ultimately, every challenge that we face is a test of how we're going to respond. The other day, I have an adult son who's living with me and he needs a car. So we were out kind of car shopping, and there was a really cool little red pickup truck sitting on the side of the road, and I was with my wife, and she goes, oh, we ought to go get our son and take him up here and see the red truck. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. So we went home, and I thought they were going to take me. But they slipped out the door without me. And I thought, well, that was kind of weird. But anyway, my wife calls me. I have people issues in my life. Okay? My circumstances are no better or worse than anybody's. But anyway, so I get a call from my wife, and she goes, you know, we came up here to drive the red truck, and a young guy owns the truck, and he gave us the keys, and we took off, and we ran out of gas about a mile away, and he won't come and get us. You know, and I'm thinking, I have call screening on the phone. Why did I answer that phone? You know? I said, so, where you at? Well, we're so-and-so. And I said, you know, I'll come and get you. Oh, don't, you know, I'll walk back to my car. Well, I knew that would be certain death for me if I accepted that. So I said, no, I'll, you know, and I'm dripping wet because I was in the shower. So I'm going, yeah, I'm dressed. I'm pulling up stuff on wet body and I'm out the door. And as I get there, the young kid has pulled up beside her, and he's mad that he has to come and rescue her. And he's a little punk kid. He's about 19 years old, and he's cussing out my wife. And he's using words that would offend all of us in here, except that I can't hear him because I'm parked on the passenger side, and they're on the other side. And I'm watching my wife kind of react, you know, looking for sharp objects, you know. And... you know, and finally he speeds off and leaves her there. And I go, what's going on? And she tells me, and I thought to myself, how are God's working in her? Because she would have killed me if I had said those things to her. Okay? So, you know, what I'm saying is that it takes strength to deal with the issues we have. The other thing it takes is acceptance. You know, we do the Serenity Prayer here every night, every Wednesday night, and it tells us to accept the things we cannot change. Okay? You got a few things in your life you cannot change? Do you? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure you're still awake. I'm not boring you here. And I think that that's really a big thing. What I was going to say in the story with my wife is that, you know, we couldn't kill the kid. We couldn't. You know, I couldn't, you know, you can't pull out a .45 anymore and just shoot people. They have laws about stuff like that. So we couldn't. And, you know, I'm thinking we could have thrown his keys in the car and locked it. I still fight a little of my old nature, by the way, so just forgive me. I'm growing. Let's just read the verse that goes with us, by the way. Accept one another, then, for the glory of God as Christ has accepted you. Okay, the reason that we accept is because it brings glory to God and it brings peace to our souls. Because when you're fighting something you cannot change and you cannot win, you cannot have peace. That's the truth. Okay? It's not the facts, that's the truth. When you're fighting something where you cannot win and you cannot change it, you cannot have peace. And so the only thing that's left to you is to accept it. And when you accept it, you take this world as Jesus did, just exactly what we say in the Serenity Prayer, and it brings peace in your heart. Okay? And ultimately, that's what we're trying to accomplish. I don't need a Corvette in my garage, I need peace in my heart. I would love to have my mortgage paid off, but I need peace in my heart more than I need my mortgage paid off. Okay? And I don't need another dog. I need peace in my heart. And there are days when I walk in here and some of you say, David, how you doing? And I know I have peace. And I say, you know what? I have peace in my heart. My circumstances may be crap. Okay? I got to make a payroll twice a month. That in itself provides stress. I have a wife and adult children that, you know, get crossways and I get caught in the crossfire. My circumstances may not be perfect, but I do know when I have accepted the things I cannot change and I have peace in my heart. Okay. One of the things that when we make Jesus our higher power, He gives us new life. New life. That's the end. Okay. I'm not the guy I used to be. Not the guy I used to be. I know you won't believe it, but I used to have long hair. Thick, long hair. And a long beard. And muscles. Had all those things at one time. And I'm not that guy anymore. But that's the externals. Internally, I'm not the same guy either. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 26 years old. And on that side of 26 years old, I was one of the worst people you would ever want to know. Makes me wonder what my wife saw in me, besides the hair, the beard, and the muscles. Okay? Okay. But, you know, on this side of 26 years old, I am getting better and better and better because Christ is taking away a lot of that junk that's inside of me, and He is changing me. And that has accelerated since I came to Celebrate Recovery. I'm 60 years old now, so 26, 60, Christian a long time, but 5 years in Celebrate Recovery, and the growth in me from 55 to 60 is amazing. Okay, because I can't say that in those early years I had peace. I had a sense of God. I had some, you know, a sense of righteousness. I knew that some things were really bad and I shouldn't do them. And I knew that you guys were loved by God and I shouldn't do some of the things that I was still willing to do. But now it's even greater because He has given me that new life. Let's read the verse. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Okay, this is so important. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you and is changing you. And sometimes He's speaking to you and you're not listening. Okay, sometimes you're not. You're distracted, but that doesn't mean He isn't. There's a verse that says, be still and know that I am God. Some of you need to be still for a while and just calm down, settle down, get alone with Him sometime and just listen. Sometimes He's telling you not to repeat that same stupid behavior over and over and over again. Just knock it off. Okay? Sometimes He's doing that. Sometimes He's saying to you, love the unlovable person, accept the unacceptable person. Okay, that's the new life that He's given you. And by the way, if you have not made that commitment to Jesus Christ, I want to talk to you, okay? I want to have a conversation with you about it. If there's something that's holding you back, just bring it at me, okay? Because God has something for you if you have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You're not here by accident. There is nobody in this room that is here as a coincidence or by accident. Okay, thank you. Okay, so the result of new life is integrity. I am not the same guy I used to be. I used to be an incessant liar. I used to lie when I didn't have to. I used to steal if I wanted something. I didn't care about your feelings. I only cared about my feelings. Okay? That was a long time ago. I don't know that person anymore. God has changed me. If I tell a lie, it hurts me. I feel it. I'm aware of it. If I stretch the truth and I don't fully disclose, I feel it. I'm aware of it. I know it. I can't do it with impunity anymore. God wants me to be pure and whole and sane, and He's going to make me the bride of Christ, and He's going to present me to Him in the next life, and it's going to be glorious, and He is making that change every minute and every day in my life. That's what He's doing in your life. That's what Celebrate Recovery is all about, is to help us process that Holy Spirit in us and watch the integrity grow. Okay, let's read the verse. Nothing brings me greater joy than hearing that my children are living in the truth. This is the Apostle John when he's 90 years old saying that. He has sown the life of Christ into thousands and thousands of people throughout the Roman Empire in his life as one of the greatest apostles of all time. And now he's hearing how the transformation has been going on in the churches. You know, the Christian church grew out of nothing. Grew out of nothing. Just 12 scraggly guys that belonged in Celebrate Recovery that Jesus poured His life into and then sent the Holy Spirit to. And that's one of those scraggly guys that was changed in the process. And then the churches began to grow and grow and grow, and he was getting these reports back, the integrity, the strength of these new believers. Okay, that's what's happening in you too. That's what's happening in you. The T, trust. When you have integrity, I trust you. Okay? I believe you guys. Okay? I believe, but verify, but I believe. Okay? I mean, the fact is, you carry yourself differently if you're a person with integrity than when you aren't. And for those of us who had no integrity, we recognize you when you are lying. We know when you're lying. Okay? We know that. Because we were liars. My kids don't understand how I knew that they were lying to me. Wow. But my wife would always betray me by going, you know, your dad was a liar when I met him. Oh, God, I hate full disclosure when it comes from my wife. Let me disclose it under my own terms. But the fact is that trust is built over time with integrity that goes on over time. And if the Holy Spirit is working in you and changing you and making you a better person, guess what? Not only do people trust you, you begin to trust people, because when you had no integrity, you didn't trust anybody else either because you thought they were just like you. Isn't it amazing how that works? I mean, sanity is really pretty cool. Starts with just strength. Okay? We have a verse for that? I think we do. It is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust the Lord, you are safe. You know, when you think everybody's thinking about you, you make some pretty big mistakes. And the first one is thinking that everybody thinks about you. Because they're not. I'm working with a young man right now who's 32 years old, just had a really, really tough life. And when I talk to him, he's so concerned about image. And I go, why are you concerned about image? Because people will think this and people will think that. I got to have this shirt and this pants and these shoes and this car. And, you know, I'm going, hey, buddy, people don't even know you exist. That's the truth. I mean, that is the truth, okay? That's the truth. The lie is everybody's thinking about you. Your mother knows you exist, your father knows you exist, your siblings know you exist, and the poor guy that you work with beside every day knows you exist, but the rest of the world doesn't know and really doesn't care. Okay? But God cares. God cares. I mean, the fact is that God not only knows you exist, He knows every hair on your head. And He loves every hair on your head. He created the hairs that used to be on your head, okay? That's the God that we have. We know Him and we are known by Him. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. Let's see. Do I have any more verses in there? Yeah. Nope. I'm to the why. Your higher power, Jesus Christ, loves you just as you are. I guess I just kind of said that, didn't I? That's the why. There's some verses here. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While I was that despicable human being as a young man, Jesus died for me. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. We have another verse. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out. You know, that's an amazing thought to me. Temptation, you know, who was the comedian that says, I can deal with anything except temptation? I've heard that echoed in different ways by so many people. And I remember, you know, when temptation would come at me, especially when I was younger, and it would be sexual temptation, and it would just come on strong and hard, and I would think there was nothing that I could do about it. Young guys know what I'm talking about? Okay? Young women know what I'm talking about? Some of you old people know what I'm talking about too, but okay. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. But the fact is that if we turn to our higher power, Jesus Christ, He is willing and able to get us through those times. It's the same way with the things that you're addicted to. It's the same thing with the things you have the compulsive behaviors to. You know, I have a friend that's a compulsive shopper. This guy doesn't know how to pass up a store and pass up a bargain. I swear he's my wife's brother. You know, and the thing is, we were talking about this the other day, and he drags the sporting goods shops. OK, Okay? And we men know what that's like, too, because I like to do that. But he can't go in and just come out. He's got to go in and buy something. And so I was with him one day. We were going to go grab some lunch, and he said, "Hey, I just want to run into Sportsman's Warehouse." Well, that didn't inconvenience me at all. Let's do it. Except that he bought something, and we just talked about it. He didn't need anything before he walked in there. He just wanted to look at this pair of shoes. Okay? He bought a hunting vest. You know, I thought it looked pretty funny on his feet, but he did. And I asked him, "Why did you do that?" He goes, "Well, I just was looking at it, and it was kind of looking back at me, and it was like love at first sight." I'm paraphrasing here, but he never stopped. He didn't stop to think. He didn't take a break. He didn't pray about it. Christian guy, too, by the way. Didn't pray about it. Didn't really take an inventory, you know, kind of something he ought to do, because it turns out he actually had several hunting vests, you know. So it will help with your compulsive behaviors, your higher power, if you'll just stop and connect with your higher power. It's amazing how many stupid things you won't do and how many stupid things you won't buy and how many times you won't jump off the cliff at the next impulse that just riddles your body, okay? That's the way he works. He loves you. He will make a way out. And one more. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. How many of you worry about tomorrow? Yeah. Rent's due. Car payment. You know. Kid needs discipline when you get home tomorrow. You know. Bank called. Spouse is waiting at home going like this. You know, I mean, there's always stuff. The problem is worrying about it doesn't change anything. And the only way to stop the worry is to connect with your higher power. Let me just say this about your higher power. It's not Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Your higher power is not Jesus Christ, it's an idol. If your soul is intimately connected to something that is not the living God, you have an idol in your life. Okay. And an idol will hurt you. Will hurt you. Okay. Throw the idols out. Throw them out. What are idols? You know? A lot of things are idols. Money's idols, work is jobs are idols, status is idols, power is idols. There are people in your lives that are idols. Some of you have, you know, worship or dance to the tune of somebody else all the time. Okay. Those are idols. Okay. If you are not all in with Jesus, you are not in with Jesus at all. Okay. I just need to say that to you too. Until your life is all about Jesus, it is all about you. Okay. So if you want your sanity, if you want the chaos gone in your life, you need to take the strength of God and apply it to your life. You need to ask Him for it. Okay. If you ask Him for something, He's faithful to give it to you. You need to accept the things you cannot change. You need to revel in your new life. Realize that you are not the person that you used to be. Okay? You need to start exhibiting the integrity. You need to start telling the truth. Not just telling other people the truth. You need to tell yourself the truth. Okay, some of you have a little self-talk going on in your head, and it's not good stuff. Oh, I'm crap. You know, everything I do just, you know, you're talking stuff like that. Or they're crap. Oh, they're crap. I'm so sick of that person. Okay, that self-talk needs to go away. T, trust. You need to start trusting. I've been burned. I can't trust people. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Your higher power will help you trust other people. No, you don't understand. I mean, you know, my girlfriend left me, my wife left me, and my dog left me. Sounds like a country song. Doesn't make any difference. You can trust with the power of the Lord in your life. Okay? Jesus took people as they were. Okay? Sometimes you can't trust because you got expectations that are, you know, way out of whack. Okay, get your expectations real, and you can trust. And you can yield to your higher power, Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.